The World Tomorrow. Ambassador College presents Garner Ted Armstrong, bringing you the plain truth about today's world news and the prophecies of the world tomorrow.
And greetings, friends around the world. The course of modern history is being altered right now, and the really big news developing behind the scenes undercover, little noticed by most, is happening in Europe, and it's going to alter the course of your life. Now, the average American finds himself worried about the problems in Asia. We find ourselves enmeshed in a deepening morass of the possibility of a large-scale land war in Asia, the continuous day-by-day escalation of the worry of the escalation of the war in Vietnam. Our big worries seem to be domestic crises, personal problems, and when you find some of the personal opinion samplings that are taken to the average American on the street, he nearly always is concerned about his health, about the weather, and about his income. And people just couldn't seem to care less about the really big and the ominous problems confronting this world today. But if you were to be asked what are the biggest problems, I imagine, in most people's minds, it would be Vietnam. They would say war. Or maybe they would say Russia or communism or the spread of communism. But whatever it would be, almost no one, my friend, around the world, unless there are just a few people who seem to know what's going on, would tell you that one of the really portentous and huge big problems today is developing undercover in Central Europe, and that the formation of a United States of Europe is only the end result of a mammoth plot that has been carefully executed and calculated and carried out day by day, just as surely as world communism has had the goal from time immemorial of dominion of this earth and rulership of it. So there is a carefully executed plot being carried out right now to put together a third power block in this world that is going to rise up and shock its architects and its builders. Now, for over 30 years, this program, The World Tomorrow, has been reporting on just such an eventuality because it is revealed in, believe it or not, Bible prophecy. It is revealed in the pages of the Bible. Few people understand that the Bible is the most relevant, the most up-to-date book in this space age you could possibly read. That major powers are identified, that human trends, conditions, that economic and socio-economic conditions are exposed and revealed, that alliances and wars and the outcome of those wars, that these are specifically predicted in the pages of the Bible. Did you know that the United States and the British Commonwealth of Nations are clearly identified in the pages of Bible prophecy? Did you know that Germany is revealed and identified by its ancient tribal names? Did you know that Russia is identified? That Japan and the major powers on this earth are identified in the pages of Bible prophecy? That Germany's future is clear? Did you know the European Common Market is a plain forerunner of a massive union of church and state that is soon to occur and which is plainly predicted in the Bible? No, the chances are you didn't know that. But I'll tell you this, if you're a long-time listener to the World Tomorrow program, you know it. If you've taken the trouble to check into it and find out for yourself, you know it. Because it is provable, it is demonstrable. On the current number of the Plain Truth magazine are two very striking articles, and coming along every single number, other articles from on the spot, written from European capitals, from Asian capitals, and elsewhere, with our own full-color scoop news photos of these happenings as they occur. In the current number of this article, Russia's real fear. Why Mr. Kosygin visited Britain recently, and our own editors of the Plain Truth magazine were there, right inside the Dorchester Hotel at the luncheon at which Mr. Kosygin was the guest. Here are the pictures of his speech, the pictures from the airport from number 10 Downing Street, and expressed in this article, written from London, England, in Britain, Kosygin reveals Russia's real fear. Few people know the reason behind that seven-day state visit to Britain. And yet he plainly said what it was over and over again if you had an ear to catch it. He was asked about that non-proliferation treaty that you've heard a great deal about. And he was very insistent upon West Germans being denied atomic weapons. Why? Does your general blinding fear of communism, which may well be justified, although not blinding fear, but certainly skepticism, doubt, and fear is justified of communism And communism is the enemy of this free world and of free men everywhere. But does your fear of communism so totally blind you that when a communist expresses alarm about what is happening inside West Germany, you poo-poo and ridicule the idea because it comes from a source with whom you tend to disagree? I'll tell you this, my friends. The average person inside Great Britain is a little more concerned about what's happening in Central Europe today than the average person walking the streets of Midtown USA. Because the average American is so far out of touch and so completely asleep at the switch as to what is going on inside Central Europe, he couldn't know less and he couldn't care less about it. But what is happening right now today is very significant. Now, you've noticed the newspapers. You've noticed possibly that in a recent edition of one of the leading weekly news photo magazines, there was a lead article about a report from a person who had journeyed to Germany recently, and when he returned, he reported on what he had found. Now, as a result of the putting together of the so-called Grand Coalition of Kurt George Kiesinger's coalition of the West German government, and also the alarming elections that were reported in the British and the American press recently, the NPD, the neo-Nazis, as they're being called in many circles, now look what has happened in the aftermath of some of that sensationalism of recent months. Now, Kurt George Kiesinger begins to speak out plainly against the United States and saying that the two former docile allies and friends are no longer finding agreement, and saying that it seems they're only finding themselves discussing the things with which they disagree anymore. And so, U.S. statesmen have been beating a path to the door of Mr. Kiesinger in Bonn. And nothing short of alarming news releases are occurring in your newspapers and weekly news magazines today. And we have been saying these things would happen and telling you what's going to happen as I'm going to do in this program beyond. And we have been doing so for more than 30 years. We have been saying, watch Germany, watch Europe, watch the creation of a United States of Europe that is going to shock its builders and architects. Why do we say this? Because it portends the end of an era. And the end of an age, because it portends the prophesied time of what is called in the Bible, sounds rather theological and historical perhaps, the time of Jacob's trouble. And Jacob's name was changed to Israel, and Israel or Jacob had 12 sons. And their national futures were predicted meticulously and carefully. And more than 127 years after the ancient house of Israel was taken into captivity by a king of Babylon, it was predicted there were yet future national calamities for them. In the Bible is spelled out the exact reasons why it is 6% of the population of this earth has enjoyed 50% of its wealth. Why it is Great Britain formerly and with the United States possessed practically every strategic land and sea gate that exists on the face of the earth. And why it is we were delivered out of almost positive disaster, of almost imminent defeat in several different occasions in World War II. And it was not by our might and our strength, and anybody who thinks it was is just very sadly mistaken and unaware of the truth of history and even the admissions of some of the great statesmen of World War II. When they know that unless an all-wise, divine, all-powerful God had himself intervened at Dunkirk, in North Africa, in the Battle of the Bulge, on the shores of Normandy. And is it Peenemünde, the place where the Germans were working on developing of the atomic bomb? If there had not been a series of fantastic miracles that had occurred during World War II, the outcome of that war would have been completely different. Now, the Plain Truth magazine pulls no punches. Also in this current number is an article about the visit of the foreign minister of Romania. Mr. Manescu, his picture is on the cover. And the article is Romania going to join the common market. How Romania and West Germany have established now and re-established diplomatic relations, and how this sudden action has blasted a big hole in the Iron Curtain. And for years this program has been saying that many of the Eastern European satellites of Russia are no doubt going to come out from behind the Iron Curtain and are going to become a part of a ten-nation union called, possibly, though Bible prophecy doesn't spell this out, it just gives you the place
It gives you who is going to be united with them, it is going to be a church and state union, and it tells you the number, 10 of them. It could be called the United States of Europe. And it's happening before your eyes, and I'm going to tell you why it's beginning to happen right now. Now, for years I've quoted such books from time to time, and of course this program is talking about what's happening in Europe far before these books were ever written. Books such as Germany Plots with the Kremlin by Mr. T.H. Teaton's, The New Germany and the Old Nazis by the same author, Watcher Along the Rhine by Brian Connell, The Germans Will Try It Again by Sigrid Schultz, The Nazis Go Underground by Sayers and Kahn, a number of other such books, many of which are written by leading Germans themselves, such as Fragebogen by Ernst von Salomon, which was translated into the English language and has been read widely in this country, or at least, shall I say, been read somewhat. You might not have read it, and is nothing more than a parody, and a little bit of an antagonistic one at that, about the almost farcical attempt of the Western powers in, listen to this date, 1947, of turning the problem of denazification of the German peoples over to the Germans themselves. That's a fact of history. Now, in one of these books, and I believe in this case it was the one called Watcher Along the Rhine, yes, it was, by Mr. Brian Connell, who before writing that book was for more than 20 years a Reuters correspondent, had spent many, many years living inside Germany. He talked about how the political parties in Germany exist differently than do those in Britain and the United States and depend upon subventions from the industrialists to occupy a place of near royalty in the German political machinery and in German social life, houses such as IG Farben, Siemens, Krupp, and so on. And he talked about how any shift in the political picture inside Germany, any scare that would appear as if the West Germans are about to have their newfound prosperity taken away from them, any economic sickness inside Germany would lead to those massive subventions being diverted into what he called less savory quarters than the CDU and the various political machinery in West Germany with which we may be most familiar in the Western world. Now, just such a sickness is occurring. At the same time, West Germany begins to follow more of a unilateral course in world affairs. At the same time, the gateway to trade and political negotiations to the East opens up. At the same time, a growth toward modernization and unity in the big religions opens up. At the very same time, the United States and Britain find themselves with festering sores that are draining their national strength, with mounting and rising internal problems that are ghastly beyond description. At the same time, in other words, my friends, every last one of these major events of prophecy are working out exactly as Almighty God said they would, exactly as your Bible predicted they would. Is it any fortuitous accident that Jesus Christ of Nazareth was so absolutely accurate in the prophecy of Matthew 24 when he said, in the latter days, in the last times, you would be living in a time of nothing but wars and rumors of wars? And he said in verse 7 of Matthew 24, nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, and there are, in Russia, in China, in many parts of Asia, in Central and South America, in Africa, and especially the big drought and famine. Now they think it's been broken, but has it really? In Australia, the terrible drought that has stricken many sections of the United States until many, many counties and states have been declared disaster areas, and then, as if on the heels of that, fantastic winter storms and increasing crop damage. And he said pestilences, that's disease epidemics, and pestilence because of insect infestation and the like, and earthquakes in diverse places. And we've been going through 10 years and more of increasing earthquake activity in very strange and unusual places. And he said all these are the beginning of sorrows. And then he went on to talk about a great tribulation. Now listen to the description of his words. It could not have been understood until this time, until the language of this day, of the capacity for human annihilation. You could not have understood these words plainly. He said, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Now, what did Jesus Christ of Nazareth mean when he said, except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved? Moffat's version adds it, saved alive, meaning no living human life on the face of this earth. Then he said, for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. And Jesus describes who his sheep are who know his voice and are doing his work. That work which he describes in the 14th verse of this same chapter, this gospel, not somebody else's, not a woman's or a self-styled prophetesses or prophets, not some collection of human beings, not a gospel about grace or peace, or the gospel of hope or the gospel of salvation or the gospel of this or that, no, not even a gospel of works, but this gospel, the same one he brought of the kingdom, and that is the good news of the coming world-ruling government of God, shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. God Almighty would like to have you believe it if you're willing to research it and prove it to yourself, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't alter the course of events, and it doesn't cut any ice, so to speak, to use the modern vernacular, if you don't believe it. It is as a witness not to try to convert or to change your mind or anybody else's. But God Almighty has decreed you're going to have that chance. He has decreed the good news of his coming world-ruling government is going to go around this earth in increasing power. He has decreed you're not going to be left without a warning. He has decreed you're going to be told that our national and our individual sins are leading us right exactly down the pathway of ancient Rome. He has decreed that you're going to be told that your everyday way of life is going to be rudely jolted out of the deep rut into which you've gotten yourself, and that we're not only going to continue to lose face abroad with our island and far-off possessions stripped from us, with the sea and the land gates with which we have already been burdened, and many of which have become great international crises areas, and many of which have already been stripped away from us, that these are going to continually be taken from us until not only will India have been gone, and Ceylon, and the Anglo-Egyptian Sudan, and Egypt. And not only will the Suez have been taken away from Britain, and not only will other possessions have been stripped away, and bases closed down, and the Navy reduced, not only more economic disasters, but also Panama is going to go, and Gibraltar, until finally we're going to be sort of sitting inside of our homes wishing it were night, and when it's night, praying it were day. And that's what God Almighty says, unless we get back to the truth of his word and get on our knees and call out to God with our whole heart and seek his face while he may be found and really seek God and call out to him and admit to him what wretches and what unbelievable, crass and cloddish and ignorant and carnal people we've been. And repent on our knees and call out for his help. People with their intellectualism and their carnality and their anti-supernaturalistic hate and bias claim there is no God today. That makes God pity them. It also makes him angry. But he himself doesn't look down and rebuke you and do anything to you. He never has yet. You can't point to one thing in your life where you can say, God did this or God did that. That God has punished you. No, that's not the point. God Almighty holds out his hands to us and he says to you people in Britain and New Zealand and Australia and the United States and Canada and all around the rest of the world, he says, why will you die, O Israel? What's wrong with you? Do you desire nothing but anti-American and anti-British demonstrations? Do you desire to automatically inherit every last far-off problem in some far-flung remote jungle area on this earth? Do you desire to inherit every worry, every concern in every vast far-flung area of the surface of the earth? Do you desire, do you just want to wallow and revel in nothing but race riots, in crime, in divorce, in pornography, in disease, in sickness, in empty lives, in wretched, perverted, and twisted, and sick minds? Do you want to just revel and wallow in your sins, or do you want to come out of them and have God Almighty reach down and pluck you like a firebrand out of the fire and hose you down, clean you up, show you why you're alive, what this human life and existence is all about, show you the truth of history, show you why it is our peoples are coming to this place in world affairs, and show you why it is the former enemies, the vanquished of World War II, are rising to such shocking pinnacles, and now all of a sudden beginning to talk against and talk out about their benefactors and their former protectors. Show you why world trends are developing the way they are. That knowledge is available. You can have it free of charge. Now, I don't know you from Adam. I don't know who you are, where you're listening, or what you're going to do about it, but I do know this. God Almighty has commissioned me to tell you about it. And God Almighty, who does rule in heaven above, and His Son Jesus Christ, are going to intervene a lot more quickly than a lot of you begin to think they are. But before that time, He has decreed His work is going to go out, and you people are going to hear about it. And you're not going to be left without a witness. Now today, inside West Germany, here, in a nutshell, is what is happening. Some of the big industries are sick. Krupp, even, is sick, and the Ruhr is sick, and West German coke and coal is too expensive for the factories to really produce with correct profits. So there's big worry over big business, and they're getting a little bit shaky and wondering who's going to totter and get sick next. Shipbuilding is sick, steel work is sick, and coal mining is sick. Coal mines output down 40% in 3 years. That's a massive percentage. And just as sure as that is happening, the average German on the street is showing, according to actual survey, growing dislike and disenchantment toward Americans. At the same time, your newspapers and magazines are reporting a breakthrough to trade to the east, a loosening in relations between the West and the Soviets, disturbances underway, and new political alliances and agreements, trade so far, and later full political agreements and concourse between West Germany and Eastern European nations. At the same time, severe dissatisfaction being voiced officially by the West German government over the United States' support of the Non-Proliferation Treaty. The West Germans now saying that it's all for peaceful uses and purposes, that they want their hands on more and more atomic and nuclear reactors. That they want to supplant their dwindling coal and coke reserves for their vast steel factories because of their burgeoning worldwide steel and shipbuilding industry by cheaper atomic power and energy. That as opposed to Middle Eastern oil or American and Asian coal. And so this is their reasoning. Is it any wonder then that the West German government today is saying that they are vehemently against the Non-Proliferation Treaty? And yet the United States and Russia both want to go along with that treaty. Now, to you and me, the average person on the street, it makes sense, and we would wish that people would put their pen to a piece of paper to say, no, we won't allow the proliferation of atomic weapons to go further. It would not be good, we like to think and to admit, for Indonesia to possess atomic weapons, for India to get atomic and hydrogen bombs. Then Pakistan would have to do the same thing. And then, of course, Malaysia would have to do the same thing. And then, of course, China already has the bomb, and France has the bomb, and the United States has a huge atomic and nuclear weapons stockpile, and Soviet Russia, and many other nations have atomic or nuclear reactors. Well, if the Arab countries got the atomic bomb, then the Israelis would be forced to retaliate by trying to create some type of nuclear stalemate and possess bombs of their own. Then where would we be? So, of course, the average person thinks, oh, yes, let's have a non-proliferation treaty. Well, it would be wonderful if there weren't such a thing as an atomic bomb, but unfortunately, my friends, there are plenty of them, enough to more than kill every human being on the face of the earth 44 times. But as one leader in Britain once said, once would be quite enough. Now, what you're going to see continually developing, my friends, in spite of anything you may think to the contrary, is simply this. You're going to see growth toward political unity. And you're going to see great religious activity as a direct cohesive force to put that political activity together. And you're going to see it paced right down toward 1970, 71, and 72 inside Central Europe. And you are going to see the emergence of a third power bloc, possibly called the United States of Europe. What it will do politically and in trade, in its opening of trade to the East, and even with Soviet Russia later, and the possible repetition of the Rapallo Treaty, of a non-aggression act between this United States of Europe and Soviet Russia. Then what you're going to be seeing in Asia on the part of Japan, with their growing disenchantment toward their benefactors and protectors since World War II, the United States, is going to shock you. It really is, and yet it's going to happen. Now, I've said it. You think that's out on a limb? I know better, because I know what Bible prophecy says, and you can prove it to yourself. You people in Great Britain, God says of you, you're going to be desolate in the day of your rebuke. And he says, among you people has God Almighty made known that which shall surely be. And he says, you won't seek his face until in your affliction you will. But he says, you're hard-hearted and stiff-necked, and you're rebellious. And you think I'm trying to import to you some American religion. I'm doing nothing of the kind. I can find my name on a headstone in Britain. I know where I came from. I've got no axe to grind. I don't want you British people to become Americanized or swallow some kind of American religion. But you ought to get on your knees before your God and call out to him and beg his pardon and his mercy for your manifold and wretched national crimes and sins. And can you say that your sins are any less or any greater than those of the people in the United States? No, you can't. The dishonest, two-faced, four-flushing, fiddling, cheating, conniving, lying, sin-ridden American. The lustful, vanity-filled, stiff-necked, rebellious, average, hostile, carnal-minded Briton. When are we going to get on our knees and realize we've got to have the help of God Almighty, or else we're going under? And we're not going to see our way clear out of our national crimes and sins. We're just not. Now, the handwriting is on the wall, and the day of reckoning is near, and we're doing it to ourselves. Let me tell you something, my friend. It doesn't matter, really, whether or not there is a God in heaven for these horrible national problems of ours to mount up to such heights that we can't anymore solve them. God Almighty isn't doing this to us. We're doing it to ourselves. We're bringing it upon ourselves. That's why God says he takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He says, why will you die, O Israel? Jesus wept over Jerusalem anciently. He said, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Did Jesus do that? Or didn't the armies of Titus do it? Which? Jesus didn't do it. An advancing Roman army did. Jesus Christ tried to warn those people. He said, you in Judea, you'd better flee. Little handfuls of them did. Many of them did not. They didn't get it. They misinterpreted his motive for the warning. If you want to read some of the most horrible sections of all history, you can read what Josephus says about those people who were left behind. Well, you need to get your name on the mailing list of the Plain Truth magazine and get these articles in the current number and every number it comes along in full color, 52 pages, free of charge. Every single month, prophecy comes alive in today's world news. Now also write for these booklets on the United States and the British Commonwealth in prophecy, showing you where our peoples are identified, the United States and British Commonwealth in prophecy. Then write for this booklet, 1975 in prophecy, that shows you, we're not setting dates, but shows you what you can expect in step-by-step sequence of events. 1975 in prophecy, and then if you want to get the good news part of it, what's going to happen beyond, write for the booklet entitled, The Wonderful World Tomorrow, What It Will Be Like. Those booklets are free of charge, as is the plain truth. If you send your letter to Herbert W. Armstrong, Box 111, Pasadena, California. That's Herbert W. Armstrong, Post Office Box 111, Pasadena, California. Be sure to tell us the call letters of your station, the address again in just a moment. Until next time, this is Garner Ted Armstrong saying goodbye, friends.
You have heard The World Tomorrow. Send your letters to Herbert W. Armstrong, Post Office Box 111, Pasadena, California.